pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. The first order of business is the approval of the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on February 17th, 2017. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections? Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the Finance Commission?
So moved.
Hector?
Second.
Moved. Okay, Lori, second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the ayes have it, and the motion passes. All right. Audit Committee, review of the agency's activities. Leslie, you wanna?
Madam Chair, we're up first today. Our report begins on page 7, and so this is the report related to our outstanding audit findings. And you'll see in this report that three of the items have been completed, and those were two from the motor vehicle sales finance audit that was performed by Garza and Gonzalez, and then one of those is from our state auditor's audit. So those have been completed, and so we'll remove those from the next meeting. And then there's continued to report three items in process. Two of these from the state auditor's office have a fairly short term deadline, so we'll see some progress on that by the next meeting. And then the one longer item at the top is an older item from a Department of Public Safety audit on criminal history record information. And we've had some while it shows it's in progress, we've had some significant progress towards completing that item. I think there's been a question at the prior meeting, or maybe one before that, about our activity in that regard, and we really needed some response and some collaboration with DPS to accomplish the automated process that needed to happen. But we have had some of that success, and we're probably, I would say, 40% complete with that particular task. We have a cycle, I think, that's going to be, we've amended our procedures so that we will be addressing this issue through a normal process. And when we get through the time period for the reinstatement of our next license renewal cycle, probably early summer, we should be able to have the project fully complete. So we anticipate by the end of this fiscal year. I know it says end of FY18, but we think now we've seen some significant progress. Probably by the end of FY17, we'll be able to be complete. And then the last item, like we just mentioned, which is not part of our report, but that Garza and Gonzalez has started their initial work on the additional internal audit work that we asked them to do on investment administration. So they've begun some work related to that.
Okay. The Department of Banking report begins on page 8. The first item, and these are both from our state auditor's office, SDSI audit. The first item we have completed, we now have a canopy over all of our equipment in our server room, and the water moves to a drain on the second floor. The second item, we have it considered ongoing. We believe we're complete with it because we did the review after the audit, but we want to wait until the next review cycle, our annual review cycle, which is going to be in August of 2017. So that one should come off after we do our next year review. I also wanted to pass along that we have set the dates for the budget hearings for the budget for 2018. Our budget hearing will be on August the 7th at 10 a.m. here in our offices here. And we will do that as a webinar, so those of you that would like to watch it can. If you want to come, you're welcome to come too. If we have a quorum, we'll just need to make sure that we post it as a Finance Commission meeting as well. And then on July the 26th, which a little over a week prior to that, we will be putting the budget proposals on the website and sending them to you so you can begin to review them. And we'll be getting with the audit committee if there's other information you want prior to that. But that's the two dates that we have set for the 18 budget cycle. And then Garza just finished their audit of our fixed asset area. We got the report, or a draft of the report this week, so it wasn't ready for the packet. But it pains me to say that we are going to have a medium finding in that report, and that was because we failed to delete about $20,000 off of the state property system. We deleted it off our internal system, and we did our reconciliation to our internal system, not to the SPA system, so we do have that finding. We've been in contact with the comptroller's office to see if we needed to restate our AFR. And because the items were pretty much fully depreciated, it didn't materially affect the financial statement, so we will not have to restate those. But you'll have that report in the June packet. And then they are starting our bank examination audit at the end of May. And if there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Okay. Savings and mortgage lending. On the MIS audit from Garza Gonzalez, two findings. One, two recommendations. One, the risk assessment is scheduled for this summer, so it's pending. And then the audit trail is in progress. We're working on that recommendation. Garza Gonzalez will be here Monday to start the thrift examination audit. And SORM will be here June 2nd for an audit. On the state auditor's ongoing audit, they anticipate that the final report will be out by the end of May. And I'm happy to answer questions if you have
them. Anybody have any questions? Okay. Next, we'll move on to the discussion of and possible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the agency's February 28, 2017 investment officer reports. Start with you, Liz.
All right. You'll see on page 11 begins our first report on the Residential Mortgage Loan Originator Recovery Trust Fund, just normal activity in that fund, nothing much to report there. On page 12 is the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund report. There's two notable items on this report, I think, to discuss or to advise you of. First is the additions to the fund you'll see up above in the cash. These represent the $200 assessment to each credit access business. And that happens through their normal renewal, which they renew at the end of December. Although there were some that probably were, because it spans November and December, so some probably came in first quarters and some came in second. But overall, we've seen a decreased contribution on a regular basis because of the decrease in population of those that regulated area for other reasons we've been talking about. But then the second item I wanted to point out to you is just, and we put an asterisk there, but the column noted change in value in the investment portfolio. And as you may remember from the last quarter, that there was a transfer of $650,000 from the cash portion into the invested portion. And last quarter, most of that ended up just sitting in that first line item on the short-term invested funds. And so this quarter, there's been, as the strategies for investment have aligned, that has been invested into the other classifications of assets within the portfolio. And so that column reflects that as well as change in market value. And I think it's just important to remember that our TIFI funds are pooled with the state's other endowment funds. And what our report is, our funds are just a tiny, tiny percentage of the overall endowment portfolio. And while, of course, that percentage is small for them, it's, of course, large to us because it represents, you know, the ability of the Finance Commission to carry out the responsibilities under the TIFI statute and to carry out those responsibilities to support financial capability and education. And I'm available to answer any questions, as well as Christina Cuellar Hoke is here as well and can answer any more technical questions about the report.
Okay.
All right, the banking department's reports begin on page 13. The first one is our seized funds. El Paso Mission, you'll notice that the $32,000 is a claim that we had to make from the guarantee fund. This is a seizure that we sent out multiple times trying to get another funeral home to take them. The contracts, there's approximately 41 contracts. We never got anyone that was interested. And so we, Regents helped us. Regents was very, very helpful in this situation. Regents did the refund checks for us, and we allocated interest to each of the purchasers and are refunding them their funds back because we could not find a funeral home to take them. Alcard Funeral Home is a funeral home that's going out of business. This is in Coleman, Texas, and we are working on an invitation to bid, or we have done the invitation to bid, and I think we will get those out of here within the next month. So that one will be good. El Paso Mission wasn't exactly what we wanted, but people are going to get their money back with the claim from the guarantee fund. On page 14 is our trust-funded report. I guess it's pretty normal activity. The only thing I'll notice is that in the deductions, we had $36,000 that went to El Paso. And it doesn't completely tie to the $32,000 on the previous page, and it's because the contracts that were in default, we paid those out of the guarantee fund directly because they were not in in the region's accounts. So that's the $4,000 difference in those two. And the rest of it's normal restitution on that page. Page 15 is our insurance guarantee fund, which is the one that was just started about 5 years ago, I think. So it's much smaller. The activity is much smaller. We have yet to have a claim made to that, this fund, which is good. And then on page 16 and 17, Jesse and I both attended the mandated training for under the Public Funds Investment Act. Even though we don't fall under the Public Funds Investment Act, our policy requires us to have this training. So we're set for another 2 years on the training.
Can I ask you a question about, in particular, the report on the seized prepaid funeral funds?
Yes.
So I look at this, and first of all, Alcorn Funeral, I did have to look up where Coleman, Texas was. And so I now know that that's, I guess, near Abilene. Or I don't know, is that the nearest big city to it? So I'm just curious. So in the case of El Paso, where you didn't get any interest, mm-hmm. and then you have Alcorn, where hopefully you will get some interest, is it driven by geographic locale? Is it the population size? Is it the financial health of the funeral home? What is it that enables you to have successful bids versus no takers?
I think in El Paso Mission, or the problem there was, is the contracts were very, very, very old. And they were very, very small amounts.
So nobody wanted them.
And because the people that owned El Paso Mission are also being prosecuted locally, it has horrible publicity associated with it. And so I don't think anyone just, no one really just wanted to be associated with them at all. In most cases, if Funeral Agency, Inc., the one that actually won the bid for Alcorn, they are an insurance provider who does a really good job of organizing records, and then just a funeral home is allowed to honor the contract. So you don't have to have a permit from us to do it. So that if funeral agency is in the area and has a funeral home that they've dealt with in that area, they are very good about coming in and bidding to take them over. But I think probably the biggest factor is how old contracts are and what kind of publicity is associated with those contracts. I will also say on El Paso Mission, we've probably gotten out of the 41 regions said we've probably gotten 12 of them back that the address was wrong, and so the refund is wrong, so we'll have to escheat them. So it's just not a really good situation on that one.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, not being on the audit committee, may I ask a question?
Sure.
No.
I was trying to be proper here. So translate for me. We're talking about the $32,000, $36,000. Either one of those figures, is that out of the state funds, or is that money that we're able to take from that organization and then refund it?
Right. So on the trust-funded guarantee fund on 14 and the insurance-funded guarantee fund, every time a contract is sold, a dollar is placed into these two funds. So if you purchase a prepaid funeral contract, they're going to add an extra dollar to it, and it goes into these funds. The trust-funded, no assessments are made anymore because the statute says once it reaches $1 million, you stop. You don't make assessments. If it falls below, you come back and do them. So in the case of El Paso Mission, this $32,000, it actually was taken out of the guarantee fund and put in to the El Paso account to make the people whole.
Okay.
So the fund itself is to make people whole if there is a defalcation or
so
a shortage.
So really the people that bought prior are the ones that paid for it.
Yes.
Because they added the dollar.
Yes. Yes.
And then, so that means that is for people that have not died yet, so they haven't, there's no funeral plot to have. What about those that already have funeral plots there?
Well, these are only for prepaid funeral contracts, so plots aren't included. It's for the funeral service itself. Okay. So if you haven't had the funeral, you got your money back. If you've had, if you're already dead, your contract was already honored and taken out of here when the funeral home still had the account. Permit.
Okay, thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm so happy you asked questions.
Yep.
Okay. Savings and mortgage lending is on page 18, is the CD report, and continuing on page 19, we did have a recovery fund claim that was found to be valid and paid out of $4,000. We'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's February 28th, 2017 investment officer reports?
So moved.
Lori?
Second.
Second by Hector. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. Okay, next on the agenda, we have the discussion of and possible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the agency's 2017 second quarter financial statements.
All right, I call on Christina Hoke to provide our report, please.
It's getting better.
Good morning. I'm Christina Hoke. I'm the County Manager for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. Our operating statement starts on page 21. Our budget variances are on page 22. Our revenues are at 118.6% of our budget. I'd like to start off with our cap industry, which currently has exceeded our budget for the end of the second period. This has to do with our forecasting from last quarter. Our cap renewals are higher than we initially anticipated, and this is because we are continued to be ahead of our prior projections at this point. Also, our creditor registration is above budget for the second quarter. Our registered creditors are renewed at the 84% rate, which is higher than anticipated. Our registration has also continued at about a 10% rate, which with an additional 680 locations registering since September. Our expenditures are 94% of our budget. Our travel is below budget due to suspended hiring of vacant positions and some cost efficiencies that have been realized through the enterprise level examinations. Our publication and printing and reproduction is currently below budget. This is due to the reduction in brochures and notices prepared for licenses during the first two quarters, which occurs on an as-needed basis. The accessibility of agency literation online also allows the licensees to print and reproduce needed material, providing a cost savings to the agency. Any questions on that?
I just have a general questions for all of the commissioners, and it deals with the, the hiring freeze. And I guess it goes to our, do we need to be doing something? I know that we're not under the hiring freeze, that we discussed that at the last meeting. Are you going to be able to meet your the goals that you set for getting the examinations done? Do you have the right people? I mean, should we be hiring and looking for people?
From the OCCC standpoint, I think we are on track for our performance goals. I'm beginning to get concerned about we can't wait too much longer because we need to start training a new class so that when we have some inevitable turnover, we've got trained people ready to fill some of those spots. But I think we're, for the time being, from our standpoint, we're doing okay.
For the banking part department's perspective, it's something we've looked at continually, and I think we're taking a really hard look at it right now just because of the additional examiners that we have lost. One good thing for us is we had already made offers to two examiners that were our interns last year that are starting this summer, so they still get to come automatically. And we have two other interns that we had made offers to before the hiring freeze. But we are seriously looking at starting our recruiting efforts back up.
Yeah, because you showed 12, right? 12 examiner positions. What level?
It really all levels. But of that 12, that gets us back to the 197. But in our staffing plan for the year, those were going to be hired throughout the year. So it's not 12 that we are short right today. It was there were hirings throughout the fiscal year, and so I think we're probably six or seven truly short right now, and it's something we talk about it almost every day.
And for SNL, we too have analyzed what we need and what we may need to hire now as opposed to being able to wait. And we did this week post two licensing specialist positions and one investigator. Those licensing specialist positions are ones that we had open and posted for almost a year and did not get any qualified applicants. So we pulled them to refresh, and as the last few months have gone on, we determined that we really do need to try those to fill those positions in order to keep up with new applications, sponsorships, et cetera. That impacts the industry's ability to get licenses, and it also then impacts Texans' ability to get a loan because they need someone to go to for that loan. And we've also just this week posted an investigator position because we had an investigator leave, and that's the group that investigates complaints. And so we decided that we could not wait. We need to go ahead and get that filled. Now, posting them does not mean they will be filled anytime soon, but at least we needed to get those up and start seeing who is out there who might apply that we could possibly fill those positions with.
Are you guys able to, and not so much your side, Leslie, but are you guys able, do you leverage more than on the FDIC when you're doing your examinations? I mean, because I understand what you're saying about the licensing mm-hmm. post, right? You can't mm-hmm. leverage off the FDIC, but do you find that you have less people going in on examinations and the FDIC has more? Is that how it works or what?
I don't know. Stephanie, do you want to speak to that first?
If
we're going in order, yeah.
Bob, thank you. We try to do equal on joint examinations. Now, I'll be honest with you, if we're short for an exam, you know, we may only send 40% or 30% of the people power in on that exam. FDIC comes to us sometime. We're in a critical nature. I mean, if we lost a couple of other experienced examiners, we'd be hard-pressed to meet all the exams we do by the end of the fiscal year. So, you know, as Stephanie said, you know, we really need to look gear back up. And try to replenish some of the vacancies we have.
That's what worries me, that you end up having, you know, an imbalance there, right, when you go on the exams
we're
and stuff.
We're pretty critical at this point. If we lose one or two others, it could impact our ability to do all the exams on time.
Is it a matter of the lack of applicants or the lack of quality applicants?
Well, when we're trying to hire our experienced examiners, lack of quality applicants. The entry level, we get a lot of applicants.
Yeah. And for SML, we recently had hired two examiners on the thrift side. So we have lost one recently. But for the time being, we're okay on examiners on the thrift side. I agree, it depends. If we lose a real seasoned one, we would most likely have to go find and try to find a new another seasoned. But right now we're okay. And actually we find the FDIC relies on us a certain amount as well. They're not always fully staffed, able to fully staff either. So, but on the thrift side, I'm okay. And on the mortgage exam side, we're okay in terms of having what we need to fulfill our expectations.
The three agency heads know that they have complete support from the commission in keeping staffing at a level to where we can carry out our mission of safety and soundness.
Right.
And the governor's office has also been very supportive, and we've kept them in the loop. So all three agency heads know that if they need to post for a position, we've gotten some guidance that we're not included in the freeze, and we're going to do what's prudent, but we have to carry out our mission. And at the end of the day, if we don't, well, then we've failed. So.
Right.
I feel like they all know that they can do what they need to do.
Good. All right.
All right. The banking department.
We're not finished.
Oh, I'm
sorry. I was going to say that.
Do you have any questions?
Yeah, sorry.
Well, on this one, but and I wanted to mention one other thing, and we've got one more report to mention, but I wanted to mention one other item on the development in progress, because you're going to see this item as we go throughout this fiscal year. So this relates to our legacy modernization IT project, and some of this budget was in the prior fiscal year, and some of the budget is in this fiscal year, and one of the deliverables that we were planning to have launched and received by the end of August actually slipped a little bit into the next fiscal year. So we're going to see this number right now. You'll see it's already over budget. consequently, we're going to have some offset by some maintenance, but I just wanted to alert you that we're going to see that some of that is going to show up on the budget. I'm not worried. Our total bottom line is going to be fine, but I just want to alert you to that. You'll start seeing that as the quarters go on. But and then, Christina, did you have any comment you want to make on the change in cash balance?
Yeah, that's just our assigned cash balance is 5.52.
Okay. And with that, we'll
thank you. Stephanie,
okay,
there you go.
The banking department's report begins on page 24, and I'll present this today. Sammy hurt his back, so Sammy is not here today.
So you're doing triple duty?
I can multitask. Our revenues year-to-date are 102% of the budget. Our expenditures are 95.6%. The expenditures are mostly related to salaries, and we've talked about that a little bit. Our special audits revenues are almost 105% of the budget, and that is based on some fines and other things that we've collected. And so we will iron out that overage in the last assessments of this fiscal year, where he will get back to approximately what he had budgeted for the year. We had one resignation that had a pretty significant lump sum, the $15,000 that wasn't in the budget, or really it's in salaries, it goes from one to the other. The biggest item that I'd like to talk about is professional fees. We have a rather large negative variance in professional fees, but it is truly offset against some of the salary savings. In our IT area, we tried to hire someone and just weren't successful. And so we went with a staffing company, and it has worked out perfectly, but we have to pay the staffing company a substantial amount of money every month, and I think it's for 6 months that we have to do that, and after the 6 months, she can become our employee. So that variance is offset by salaries, and it really has worked out really, really well for us. And I really don't have anything else that's out of the ordinary on that. And then on page 26, our cash balance is at 3.83 months.
Any questions? All righty.
Antonia Antoff's going to give this report.
Mm-hmm. Good morning. Antonia Antoff, Savings and Mortgage Lending. Our report begins on page 27. You have the budget variances in your report. I just want to mention a couple of things. The thrift assessments are currently 11% over budget, but next quarter we will not be collecting an assessment because we waived it. So these are going to be the numbers you're going to see next quarter also. The licensing revenues are barely over budget, and this is the trend I expect will continue through the rest of the year. The fines and penalties, we didn't budget any amounts this year, and for the same period last year, we had collected $918,000, so we've collected less this year, $260,000. On the expenditure side, the travel is under budget. This is timing and lower cost too. In the second quarter, usually around the holidays, there's very low exam travel and any other travel for that matter. So I expect this will pick up in the third and fourth quarters. The same with professional fees and services, the administrative hearing costs I expect will increase in the third and the fourth quarter. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
So, Antonio.
Yeah.
On your assigned cash balance, which is at 13.2 months.
Yes.
I wonder if this number continues to be high. And so for us to be able to focus on this number, I wonder in your budget variance analysis, if you could put a trailing 2 years for each time we reported, put what it's been for the last each meeting.
Sure.
And all you have to do is go back and pull that. So
sure.
we can look at that, because I keep my understanding was that was a timing number and it was going to come down, and
this is the second quarter.
Double digits.
Yes, and a lot of that is reflective of fines and penalties, and to your point of looking at the trailing, some of those fines and penalties are not from this fiscal year. We had some large penalties last time that upped it And
This is really the highest it's going to be in the year, because the second quarter is also renewal of licensing, of licenses. So third and fourth quarter, there is no renewal. It is timing.
We sort of have this conversation every time.
We have.
And the number continues to be big, and
right.
It's always a timing difference.
Right.
And so what I want to do is figure out how to highlight this number so that we can see what the trailing numbers have been and see what your efforts are to get it in control.
And I do want to say there was a time when it was a timing issue, but you are correct. At this point, because of the number of fines and penalties that are in there, that makes a big difference. Our vacancies that have continued, like in the licensing area, that hits it, because of course salaries and benefits are a large part of the expenditures. But we'll start providing you that information.
Thank you.
But don't you handle it by waiving the fees?
Oh, yes. But this also, in all of this, is this reflects the discount of the mortgage fees across the board for this fiscal year, and it includes the waiver of the fourth quarter assessment. Those were items that we did in an attempt to try to manage that down. We continue to get an average of 600 new licensing applications a month, and
we have made some efforts to try to manage that down.
I appreciate that.
But we will get you that.
The only way to see this number controllable is to have a good understanding of, you know, reminder for us all about what the number is, and then whatever efforts you're doing to control that number is a good thing. Be sure to tell us about it.
Yes. No, we will do that.
Thank you.
So what would be a good number?
Do you want it from all three agencies?
No.
Okay.
What is a good number?
I target 6 months.
Well, 6 months is the policy is to try to be at 6 months, depending on the volatility of the industry, and being with the mortgage industry is the most volatile of all, is. You know, 6 months may not be sufficient, because we've been through, right now we're in upswing and we have a lot of licensing activity, but we have been on the other side where suddenly the licensee population drops and there is not enough revenue coming in, and this is all cyclical. Right now we're on the up, and then it all changes suddenly, and then there's no time to react. So we've been on that side too, and we had to lay off people because we couldn't pay their salaries. So I will provide.
I don't remember that. Would you, in connection with that, would you identify when that occurred?
Sure. And I was going to mention, so our cash balance report is on page 29. As I mentioned, this is the highest it's going to be for the year. The third and the fourth quarter, we should have less revenue coming in.
And may I say, again, we can't anticipate what fines and penalties will come in. So,
do you have any other questions? Thank you.
Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2017 second quarter financial statements?
So moved.
Lori first, Hector second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. Okay. Commissioner, if you could give us the report on activities related to the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund.
There's a written report on page 31. And Juan, do you have additional information? I think you wanted to distribute. So this is just a status report, and the other report that you're getting right now is sort of a more detailed report from the grantees, and our grant report of what's going on with the grant program in the last 6 months. So that's just a summary of progress. And so, yeah, sure. You've got, go ahead.
Juan Garcia with the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. Good morning, Madam Chair and members. What you have in front of you is a year summary worth of activity for the TIFI grant. There's a couple programs there that are 1 year, so they've completed their cycle, but most of the others are halfway through. And so you've got activity measured per grantee, where it gives you the summation of the whole year, and then as you bring your site below, you will find just for the last 6 months. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
And otherwise, they're working, making preparations for our next grant cycle coming up. And we've talked about that a little bit already, but we're pretty heavy into working on that.
I think my only comment would just be, if it's possible, and I recognize that you're always compiling information, to get us an email, a copy of this before the meeting. That way we get a chance to review it. It would be helpful. Because when we're here and then we read it after and we forget to ask a question at the next meeting about it, it would just be great, even if it's the day before.
Well, okay. I was just going to say that we didn't submit them with the entire packet because we were waiting on
right.
one grantee.
Understand.
But we'll do so.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. There be no further business. This meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned at 9:07.